Scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And so for our final Missions in Focus Month Sunday, we welcome our guest speaker, Mr. Charles Ho, and his wife, Hung Yen, and their staff, Stanley. Come, let's welcome them. So Charles and his wife, Hung Yen, were based in the Mekong region for 13 years, serving among many unreached people groups, and now he is the executive director of Wycliffe Singapore. So if the name Wycliffe Singapore doesn't ring a bell, that means we haven't joined the dots, because our missions worker, Dr. Ko Sie Yuen, was sent out through Wycliffe Singapore, right? So in that sense, Charles is the guy that is responsible for looking after him. Thank you, Charles. So without further ado, let's welcome Charles to give us today's sermon.
Good morning, church. It's great to be here again this morning to share God's word with you at your Missions in Focus Month. Before I begin the message, I'd like to introduce two books to you. The first book is called Called by Grace, Led by Grace. It's by this sister, Kwan Po San. She's one of our oldest members in Wycliffe who served in Papua New Guinea, and after which she also served as a consultant in many other places. She is now at the age of 83, and she's still serving as a consultant. And so we want to introduce this book to you, of her memoir, of her time, how she served with this people group in Papua New Guinea, and translating the book for them. Another book I'd like to introduce to you also is called Rooted, Resilient, and Ready. This is another book written by our member, focusing on third culture kids. When we missionaries go out to the field, we don't just go alone, but with our children. And the children, when they come back home, they do feel a lot of different difficulties. And how this book she's written to share, and how can, you know, as a church, can support our missionary kids itself. So two books to recommend to you, and you can get it at our booth later on after service. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank PSBC, the pastors and elders, and the missions committee for sending Zhe Yuen, a wonderful brother and co-worker, to serve in Thailand. Here you can see Zhe Yuen at last year's Ken Wycliffe. You can spot him, right? Okay. Always being young at heart and serving among the young people. In fact, the young Thai co-workers affectionately call him Dr. Yuen. Okay, not Dr. Ko, Dr. Yuen. And they will say, "Dr. Yuen, Dr. Yuen." Okay. And Pastor Tarawat, the director of Wycliffe Thailand, has expressed to me multiple times how grateful he is to have Dr. Yuen to be part of his team. Indeed, Dr. Yuen has impacted many people in Thailand with his unassuming character and servanthood. So thank you, church, for sending him. Kokumakap. Our text this morning, as been read, is Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. The text is one of the most familiar and foundational passages in all of Scripture. In these few verses, Jesus, risen from the dead, met his disciples on a mountaintop and gave them one final charge. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This passage is the Great Commission. As we all know, is our mission blueprint. This is one of the most foundational commands from Jesus. Can we have the next slide? In these few verses, Jesus gave us more than a mission. He gave us a model. Some refer to it as the marching orders for the church, yet many believers struggle with living it out daily. Why is this so? Because we forget the power, the purpose, and the promise that come with it. There are three essential truths which I like to call as the three A's of the Great Commission. First, authority, the power behind our mission. Second, assignment, the purpose of our mission. Third, assurance, the promise throughout our mission. Let's look at the first A, authority, the power behind our mission. Jesus begins by declaring, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. This verse is not merely a remark. It is the foundation on which everything else is constructed. Take a moment to realize how important this is. Jesus has just triumphed over death. He has revealed the way to eternal life, conquered sin, and broken the stronghold of evil. His resurrection reveals power that is not only supreme, but universally accessible. It is all authority covering both the spiritual realm, the heavens, and the physical world, the earth, and the nations. And he has all authority over our lives. Note that this is not reserved for the few, but available to all, across every people and place. In other words, Jesus has supreme authority over every government, philosophy, economy, scientific discovery, human soul, and atom in the universe are all under the authority of Jesus. He is sovereign over everything. Indeed, these are all under the authority of Jesus. He's supreme over everything. And what a great reassurance we have. But why did Jesus declare his authority with such conviction before issuing the Great Commission? Because the assignment he gave was nothing short of extraordinary. It is an assignment that may appear overwhelming, may seem even unattainable, that is, if we rely on human capabilities itself. But we have assurance that since all authority resides in him, we are not sent out in our own strength, but in his. In this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul uses the term Christ's ambassadors in his letter to the Corinthians. Paul is advocating that as Christians, we should see ourselves as representatives of God. We have been entrusted by God an important job, and that is to bring God's message of reconciliation through Christ. What an honor it is that we Christians, as part of the church, are called upon to represent ourselves to be God's ambassador for Christ, which means we are approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. John 20, verse 21, gives us double assurance that we are sent out with a hope that God, the reigning King, has already secured the victory. We do not go out by our own authority, merit, or human wisdom. We are sent out as ambassadors, carrying the authority of Christ himself. Wow, imagine that. As what we Singaporeans will always say, it's a confirmed win, okay? Because the King is on our side. With the assurance of authority, the power behind our mission, the second A is assignment, the purpose of our mission. Verse 19 states, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The mandate is to go and make disciples, not just converts or churchgoers. Jesus did not say, "Go therefore and get X number of converts or establish X number of churches." Jesus did not say, "Go therefore to get people to believe in him and then leaving them to figure things out on their own." Jesus' KPI was not what the world aims for. Jesus' emphasis was on Christian discipleship, that is to make disciples, which is the process by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and are equipped by the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts, to overcome the pressures and trials of this present life and become more Christ-like. So, discipleship is a journey of transformation, a process of becoming more Christ-like. The assignment is global, to all nations. Jesus' command wasn't limited to a few. It's for all nations. The message of his love and salvation is meant for every person, in every culture, everywhere. The assignment is global. God's heart beats for every tongue, tribe, and people group. The assignment is so local. It's right where we are, in our homes, our schools, our jobs, and our communities. Today, going out may mean the concept of doorstep ministries, where missions is across the street and cross-cultural ministries can be done without leaving the shores of Singapore. As in your mission team, Acts 1:8, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Dr. Luke last Sunday has expounded to you this verse which ties in with today's message. It was a very different world back then in the first century during Christ's time. It's great that we are in this era where we can actually look back in history, right, and see how the gospel has moved from the local mission to being a global mission. We are currently now in a new era of missions. This new era of missions refer to a shift in how Christians engage with the great. There are three eras of modern missions. The first is the first era, we call it the coastland missions. That's represented by William Carey in 1792 in those days. The second era is called the inland missions. And we all know Hudson Taylor was very active during that time in 1865. And as I was coming into the church, and I just can't help to see the murals on your historical timeline. And this church was birthed during this era. So you were born during the second era of missions. We are so thankful to see that when this church was born, right, it was with the Malay congregations. And after which I hear from Pastor Kelvin mentioning about the Peranakans coming in also. And of course, the Straits Chinese, and I see all the plaques on your walls. It's just so wonderful that you have been birthed from this era, and you have actually birthed many churches after which, to Glory Presbyterian Church, right, in Bukit Timah. The third era, we call it the hidden peoples or the unreached peoples, and it's represented by Cameron Townsend, the founder of Wycliffe, in 1934. And the focus was on linguistic barriers. And now, we are in the fourth era of modern missions, which is the whole church mobilized to send their own missionaries to the unreached, to the whole world. Here's a breakdown of what defines this new era. The first one is polycentric missions. The fourth era of missions is more global and shared. Instead of mostly being led by Western countries, people from many different parts of the world are now leading mission work. It's called a polycentric approach, which means leadership and efforts come from all over, not just the countries that traditionally sent missionaries. We were blessed, indeed, by our Western brothers and sisters who came from across the shores, take the boat all the way to our shores and spread the good news. The second is the facilitated era. Missionaries today are not just pioneers or strategists. Their role is a facilitator, serving alongside a local Christian leader. The role of a traditional sent missionary has changed. And I believe your church is involved in this facilitator era too. The third one is technology and innovation. Technology is a big part of missions today. Tools like social media, through the handphone, the internet, satellite TV, and messaging apps. I mean, messaging apps is really wonderful, right? It's the way of communication, WhatsApp. And we shudder if WhatsApp starts to charge us for a fee and whether we still want to use WhatsApp. In many different countries, they use different messaging apps. Like in Thailand and Japan, they use LINE. In China, they use WeChat, and many more. And of course, Korea is Kakao. These texts are great tools to help people share the good news of Jesus and help others grow in their faith. We are also researching how AI can help with Bible translation into people's own heart languages. There's good potential for AI, and because it can produce good first drafts. However, it's unfortunately, it cannot replace the human factor. So there's still a way that humans still have to be involved in this translation work. The fourth is everywhere to everywhere. Missions today are happening in many directions. Instead of mostly Western countries sending out missionaries, now people from all parts of the world, including the global south, are sending out missionaries everywhere to everywhere. And this includes movements like reverse missions or diaspora missions. Missions will happen across the street to across the seas. This new era of mission is more global and inclusive. Technology and partnership play a big role. Every believer is invited to be part of that mission using their own talent, skills, and experiences. Be amazed at what God is doing next. The assignment states, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How do we make disciples? Jesus gave us two primary means. First is baptism and teaching, okay, or marking or molding. Let's look at baptism first, marking. Verse 19 states, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is an outward sign that shows something as special has happened inside the person who turned from the old ways and chosen to follow Jesus. It is a public declaration of faith. Baptism is not making a tattoo, okay, of a cross or tattooing the words Jesus saves on the body. Or baptism is not just wearing a cross to profess that the one is a Christian. Baptism is an outward sign of inner transformation, glowing and growing in the new life with Christ. Baptism is a declaration to the world that I belong to God and I am on His side. Baptism is also culturally significant and symbolically, spiritually symbolic. My wife and I, we serve in the mission field, and we serve in this country, which is, we call it the Creative Access Nation. I won't mention what country is that. And as we were serving there, one of our tasks is actually to work with many minority groups. And I do research and find out from them, especially this very interesting research called spiritual bondage. And I find out from many of the minority people who actually were under the bondage of the spirits, and it's a very, very real for them, you know. And for them to turn from that point to follow Christ, they'd have to abandon the fear of being bounded by the spirits and allegiance to the spirits. And it's a big step for them to cross the bridge to become a believer. Because they know there's a bigger spirit that is in control of the world. You can see here, this pool here. We were working with another group of young people in there. And as we were training them how to share Christ without any scripture, with scripture, without any tools, just using the words. And as we were sharing with them and teaching them, we realized something was wrong, something was stuck. And so we asked everybody to close their eyes, you know, I asked them, is there anything that is not right in their hearts? And of course, as young guys, old guys, like young guys in their 20s, we ask, any issues that you have? Then they say yes, they raise their hands. And then he brought us, the trainers as us, to ask, have you all been baptized? And they say no. They were the second, third generation Christians. They were not baptized. So we asked them, anybody wants to get baptized? And many of them raised their hands. And so, hey, let's do it now. So we went across behind our training shack and find a basin. And you found this trough. This trough is actually was very muddy, very dirty, many years that's not been used. So we clear it out. We even had to take the tortoise out of it to move him aside, not to be baptized, right? And so we baptized them. But we as foreigners didn't baptize it because we know there were neighbors who probably look at it and look in and see what we are doing. They'd be curious, right? And call the police or the military. So we had to engage a younger Christian leader to do the baptism itself. Yes, baptism welcomes the new believers into God's family, showing they belong to Jesus and share in what he did by dying and rising again. It's not just a ceremony or ritual. It's part of God's plan to bring people into his community. And we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to show our belief in the one true God who saved us completely. The next one is molding, teaching them how to observe all that I have commanded you. Discipleship means learning and living out our faith. It's about understanding God's word and letting it shape who we are and how we live, by the process of molding. Jesus calls us to follow them, to abide in them. Like in John 8, verse 31 to 32, it says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in Wycliffe, we believe for discipleship to take root and fuel spiritual growth and maturity, the word of God must be made known in the heart languages of the people. We believe people understand spiritual truths best in the language they love and use every day, that speaks to their heart and culture. It's the language of home, of close relationships, and starting like hearing God speak to you in your language. Cameron Townsend, the founder of Wycliffe, has this analogy. He states, "Understanding the scripture in a language other than the heart language in which we think and experience emotion is like trying to eat soup with a fork. You can get a little taste, but you cannot get nourished." Which is why translating the Bible into heart language is important, as it makes the gospel understandable. It enables obedience to Jesus' teachings. It fuels spiritual growth and maturity. It builds strong local churches, and it honors the global vision of the Great Commission. Bible translation is foundation to reaching unreached people groups and discipling them in their own context. It's not just about evangelism, it's about long-term transformation and spiritual growth. Finally, Jesus concludes his commission with an incredible promise. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the third A, assurance, the promise throughout our mission. This verse is the most comforting to me as I'm assured of his promise that he will be with me always in our mission's journey. Jesus did not send us out alone. He promises his continual presence. Whether you're on a mission trip, in a difficult conversation, or discipling someone, he's there. Christ's presence will be with us throughout our mission journey. The Great Commission is not easy, especially in this rapidly changing world, but it's never a solo work. We don't serve for God, we serve with God. This promise is to the very end of the age, signifying that his presence will endure until his glorious return. We are part of an unfolding story, a divine drama, which is actually much more exciting than Netflix, which ultimately will culminate in God's ultimate victory, the finale. I would like to close with this story of a village in the country that we serve in. The people we were serving in is called the Bee Tree. It's a pseudonym. And we happened to we were looking for discipleship material. And then we found material that was very relevant and translated into their heart language. And so one of our co-workers asked all the leaders in the village just to come for this session, and they came. As he was about to start to teach, suddenly one guy ran into the hut. He says, "Hey, stop, the police is coming." And so he quickly packed up and said, "I think we better stop and disperse everyone." And he packed up and he went back. The next day, he happened to go into the town and he happened to meet back the same guy who actually warned them. And the guy said, "Do you know, yesterday when I came to warn you, actually the police were coming, but when they were about to start the car, they couldn't start the car. So once they fixed the car, as they were moving on, they had a tire puncture. And so by the time they fixed the tire puncture, they basically was like, 'Oh, it's about lunchtime, noontime, forget it.'" And they gave up visit. Yeah, correct, the visit. My wife told me that. And the Lord protected them. It's such a wonderful testimony. And indeed, Jesus will be with us always to the very end of the age. And this is a great reassurance every time for us. In conclusion, what is our response to the three A's? Authority, assignment, and assurance. Let us remember and embrace the authority of Christ, which empowers our witness. Let us commit afresh and live out his assignment of making disciples of all nations. And let us walk confidently, trusting in the assurance of his unfailing promise that he will surely be with us always to the very end of the age. This mandate isn't exclusive to the pastors or missionaries. It belongs to every believer, every child of God. So let us, as individuals and as a church, be stirred anew to embrace this divine mandate. Let us be a church that embraces all three A's of the Great Commission, because that's how we transform the world until he returns. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for entrusting us with your mission. Help us to walk in your authority, fulfilling our assignment with courage, and rest in the assurance of your presence. Use us, Lord, as your church to make disciples of all nations, starting right where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.